Chapter 17. It's Greek to Me by Willie Snow Etheridge. 17. Quote unquote. That has been most wonderful, ... and terrible. The day after President Truman sent his message to Congress asking an appropriation of $400 million for aid to Greece and Turkey, flags were flying in the streets of Athens. Without waiting to hear whether Congress would approve the appropriation, the Greeks began to celebrate. Besides hanging out flags, they made speeches and played the Star Spangled Banner and the Greek national anthem on the radio. That is all the Greeks except the communists. The communists were outraged. In big black headlines, their papers shouted, first the British flag on the Acropolis and now the United States flag. Penny Angelopoulou, the sister-in-law of my friend Eleni, read me the headlines as we sat in a sunny courtyard at noon to talk and, incidentally, to have lunch. It wasn't the best place to talk. A blacksmith's shop occupied a corner of the low, white, stucco building that formed the court, and frequently donkeys passed our table on the way to be shod. In another corner was a cobbler's shop, and in another the restaurant which served the tables in the court. Nevertheless, we talked, or rather Penny did. Penny is slim and blonde and fairly young, in her early 30s, I would say. She has a finely chiseled aristocratic nose, a wide, intelligent brow, and big brown eyes that contrast strikingly with her fair complexion and yellow hair. She was a Macrice before her marriage, which is to say she was well off and prominent. But the Macrice family, like so many in Greece, who refused to collaborate with the Nazis, lost everything they had during the occupation. First, the Macrice factories were taken over by the Germans, and then, because they refused to work for the enemy for wages, the household goods and personal belongings had to be sold to buy food. Penny and her sister did the selling. The first day I went to sell something, I was terribly ashamed, she related. I felt degraded. But I got so used to it that one morning, when my sister called to me from her room, Penny, I'm going downstairs to sell. You want to come along? I wasn't even shocked. We started with jewelry, furs and coats, and then we sold everything. Rugs, porcelain, furniture. I remember when we sold the dining room suite. We had enough money to live for a year. She smiled a wide, sweet smile, and with no hint of bitterness. Finally, we sold our dresses, shoes, and even stockings. But it wasn't the story of Penny's personal hardships that I wanted to hear. Penny and her family for generations had been anti-monarchist. Her father had been a distinguished supporter of Venizelos, and yet she and all her family had voted in the last election for the populist, royalist government, and later in the plebiscite for the return of the king. This March day, with President Truman's speech turning in my head, I wanted to hear how an intelligent liberal Greek, as I knew Penny to be, became a supporter of the present Greek government. Womanlike, she didn't go directly to the point. She started with the beginning of World War II in Greece. She described the night the Italians issued the ultimatum that they would march into Greece within a few hours unless they were given the bases they wanted, and the Greek government defied them. The king spoke most wonderful way, Penny recalled, in English just different enough to be quaint. He prepared everything from radio. Greece has always been a free country, he declared, and Greece will stay free country. The first day, all the flags out. Without notice, we put flags out. Like feast day, everybody's man was rushing. How you call it? To register. Sirens started, and everybody was very busy running in street and shouting, "We will win," and all that. Meanwhile, at station, real fight between men to get on trains to go to the front. That has been wonderful. I must say, the young children, the young boys, were wonderful too. When Italians started bombing Piraeus, these children, some 12 years old, helped put wounded people in shelters. They have worked with such a courage. 15 days after war started, had first victory. That day, all bells ringing in the churches. But then we had news from soldiers not so good. And then we were told Germans would attack us. That day wasn't a gay day. We knew that would be end. King said so on radio. Probably every Greek will die, but we will fight to the last man. That was a terrible day, a terrible day. Unhappily, the Yugoslavs couldn't fight but a few days, Penny said this calmly, with no rancor in her voice, though, as I knew, the few days had been only 12. They made armistice with Germans. We kept fighting for 21 days without planes, without tanks. All the way back to Athens, our soldiers were unprotected from the Germans' bombs. Penny was silent for a few seconds. She was, no doubt, thinking about Spiros, her husband and the brother of Eleni, who, with his Greek companions, retreated under that terrific bombardment and came into Athens only a few hours ahead of the Germans. Waiting for her to continue speaking, I heard the blacksmith's anvil tolling through the courtyard. The last days before Germans came, Penny continued, the king went to Crete because we thought we could hold Crete, and he must have some safe place from which he could direct the government. But the attack on Crete was dreadful. The Germans wanted to capture the king, and we could not hold it. At this moment, which would have been painful if I had not known that the king escaped to Egypt, the restaurant proprietor arrived with our lunch, and for the next 20 minutes, Penny and I made no sounds except grunts of satisfaction. Then asking, where was I, but not waiting for an answer, Penny resumed her story. After the Germans came, we started to have in Greece, the guerrillas. They were chiefly Elas in beginning and were supported by Aeom. Then started other guerrilla groups. Aedes was next important. It went like that for another year. Elas and Aedes, both fighting. One time, very bad. Aedes were fighting the Germans and Elas attacked them from back. After this day, when we know that, it has been a terrible shock. Then everybody understand that Elas was communist and wanted to take power in their hands as soon as Greece was liberated. Penny looked at me intently with her solemn eyes. Could I understand, she seemed to ask me, how frightening this was? Then quickly she went on. I was working in Red Cross, and there I could see the students as they came in canteen, and they say, what do you think? The day the Germans go, the communists will not allow men to wear a tie and women to dress well. It make you furious to hear those things. Instead of saying, and here she threw up her hands and her eyes flashed, when the Germans go, we will be free. Anyway, 3 days before Athens was free, there was a Greek military band. I don't know where it had been or where it came from, but it started to play the Greek war songs against Italy and Germany. It started in the suburb of Koloniki. You can't imagine what it did to us people. In one quarter hour, there were 100 of people. In half an hour, 1,000 behind bands singing songs against Germany and Italy. Her face was full of animation, and one hand that had been resting on the table opened and shut excitedly. "Were you there?" I put in. "Oh, yes," her voice rang. "I was right there, and it was wonderful, really wonderful." Then, at one moment, an officer said, "Stop now, we play the anthem." Everybody knelt down there in the street and sang the anthem. It has been something wonderful. Tears glistened in her eyes. The Germans arrived, and they're all around us with small machine guns, but nobody has turned head. Everybody was still down on knees, singing anthem. That has been most wonderful moment. She was quiet for a few seconds, living over, I suppose, that wonderful moment when she shrugged her shoulders and said, "Unhappily, when the Germans left Athens, the communists started making demonstrations. Then it has been a terrible time. When people went out into streets, we wanted it to be like the day we declared war. We wanted flags, bands, singing. But the communists started songs. Death, dot, 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 death, dot, dot, dot. When you want to hear life again and instead hear songs that begin death with fists like that," she doubled up her hand into a tight fist and shook it in front of her face and left the sentence dangling. "Yes," I prodded her. Unhappily, the demonstrations grew bigger and bigger. One day, there were two very big demonstrations. One was AYOM singing their death songs, and one was the nationalists singing their Greek songs. I was on the pavement looking at everything. The nationalists shouted, "Death to Germans, Italians, and Bulgarians." The communists shouted, "Death to Germans and Italians." Somebody from nationalist group yelled, "Why don't you say death to Bulgarians?" But nobody answered. After which, like mad people, we, who were standing on pavement looking, went into the nationalist group. From that moment, we have been irrevocably divided. We could not tolerate Greeks who did not care about the enemy. We started having the most anti-democratic feeling of our times. You walked from house, and man from AYOM asked to see your identity card. You'd never believe that could happen in Greece. And if he liked, he let you pass. Or if he didn't like, he'd send you home. And they killed people. They took men out of their houses at night and killed them. But the one thing nobody ever understand is why they didn't kill the rich, the people who had collaborated with the Germans. They killed only the rightists. They kill for political reasons. So you see, it hasn't ever been a social revolution. A social revolution I wouldn't approve, but I could understand. But to be perfectly fair, she continued, her face deeply troubled, I must tell you the X's killed too. They were an organization, you know, of royalists and extreme rightists, and they behaved very badly. They killed leftists, and instead of the government punishing them as it should have, they went out free in the street. The blacksmith led a giant mule into the court and tied him to a eucalyptus tree. The revolution, when it came, was too terrible to talk about, Penny said, and staring at the mule, but evidently not seeing it. The communists committed such cruelties. They did awful things to young girls. We have pictures I can show you. They mutilated men and women. Her face grew pale and drawn as she talked, and I noticed freckles that I had not seen before across the bridge of her nose. Those things were so awful that in the election, we voted for the party furthest removed from the communist, and in the plebiscite for the return of the king. We felt the king would hold the anti-communists together. We didn't mind whether he was called His Majesty. We only cared whether he brought calm and freedom back to Greece. We wanted to be able to go out of our houses at midnight and have no harm come to us. But harm still comes to a great many people, I said. Besides those who are being killed daily in the mountains by the communists, there are the communists who are being thrown into jail. There is no freedom for them. She leaned toward me excitedly. They are not arrested unless the government has proof that they are helping the guerrillas. Communist papers are still being published regularly in Athens, and nothing happens to the editors. I know personally very well many communists, some even famous communists, and the police don't think of troubling them, for they are just communists making talks and speaking what they like. But if men are murderers, if they help the guerrillas, then they are traitors to this government and deserve to be shot. Her voice was so vehement and her eyes so crackling with fire that I was deeply distressed. How could this schism dividing the country further and further apart ever be filled? Surely not simply by United States dollars. There must be a change of heart in the Greek people. They must bury their bitter memories, their hates, their fears. Evidently, Penny read my mind as I sat there silent in the sun, for suddenly her eyes quiet again and her hands motionless on the checkered tablecloth, she said, "One wish I have for Greece, that everyone could forget and start from today. But how many pennies are there?" End of chapter 17.